Welcome to the Eye on the U podcast, the Miami Herald's Miami Hurricanes podcast. I'm David Wilson. I am joined, as always, on the other line by Susan Miller Degnan, our Hurricanes beat writer here at the Herald. Susan, what's up?
Just another week. Hopefully not another loss.
Yeah, we'll see. It's been a long season so far, and these last few weeks in particular have been pretty long, going back obviously to the final day of September, where Miami misses a field goal at the buzzer against Virginia, get a bye week, Miami gets a chance to regroup. They come out really flat on Saturday against North Carolina, really ugly start, but it was really almost the exact, basically the exact same script as the Virginia game. Awful first half for the offense. Gets going in the second half, nearly puts together a pretty incredible comeback in a game they had basically no business being in at halftime. Together a good final drive, get down into the red zone 2 weeks or whatever. 2 games ago, it was a missed field goal, as I mentioned, on Saturday. It was an interception tipped at the line of scrimmage, eventually brought in by North Carolina.
Right.
It's kind of hard to it's hard to believe the way these last two games have gone. It feels like basically since the start of the Mark Richt era, this team has been defined by games, close games, right? Even the good seasons last year with the crazy comeback against NC State. I think they had a close win against Virginia, right? They had a couple close, one score games.
Even in the bowl game, right? They came back.
Yeah, even against Oklahoma State. Obviously, in the Orange Bowl season, that was all about the close wins. You know, the Darryl Langham touchdown in Tallahassee.
True.
They had comebacks against Georgia Tech that year. Obviously, the loss to Pitt to end the year was close, too. So this team has been really skating on that thin margin all year. For half a century, basically, right now. Half a decade right now. Feels like half a century the last 5 years, but it's kind of one of those situations where it has spiraled out of control for Miami, kind of like it did in Mark Richt's last season. Every week it seems like we add something new and ugly to the ledger, whether it's a frustrating way to lose like they did against Virginia and North Carolina, or it's injuries piling up as they did again Saturday, when Cam Harris goes down with a season-ending knee injury. Now Andres Borregales missed practice on Tuesday with some sort of illness. Obviously, we've heard about this bug going around campus. Not sure about his availability for Saturday as of now. Right now, I'm sure they don't even know, and he doesn't even know probably. But yeah, it's gotten it feels like it gets worse every week. Even though Miami, as we talked about, we were obviously on the road together in North Carolina. We were talking about it. It was like there are real reasons to like feel good about Tyler Van Dyke and the way the offense played in the second half. But it's always like 3 steps back, then 1 step forward, then 3 steps back, and that's just kind of where we're at right now, I think, with this team.
Exactly.
We're quite a few steps back. And steps forward are not big enough.
2 steps forward. You know, they just can't do it all the way. And yeah, it's like just another strange comeback. Weird, as you would say, kind of weirdly, uplifting, or I don't know what it was, but weirdly positive. I don't know. But They couldn't do it all the way. And it was a very strange feeling, because even in the press box, the first half we were sure UM, it was just like, just everything's horrible.
It was so much like the Virginia game where at halftime we're like, yeah, This is it.
Start writing. And then all of a sudden we're like, oh my God, they might win. Right. They might win. And then, and everybody in the press box, I mean, all the writers from both sides were kind of just quiet at the end, like, wow, that was a pretty good game.
Yeah.
Which is kind of weird, right? It is weird. But, in the long run, and in the long run, they lost. So in the end, as I say, they lost. So I don't, and this game coming up, I just looked, they started out as like a 2 or 2.5, depending on what you're looking at, a point underdog Miami against North Carolina State. And I just looked, and now they're 5.5 point underdog Miami, which that seems more realistic. North Carolina State has one of the best defenses in the nation. They're ranked 18th. They're 5-1 and they're 2-0 in the ACC. And yeah, it's going to be tough for Tyler Van Dyke and the offense.
Yeah. NC State, really strong case to be made. They're the best team in the ACC right now. They have played 2 not particularly good defenses the last 2 games. And again, it's been mixed results for Tyler Van Dyke. I don't think you're coming out of those 2 games feeling like he's the quarterback of the future, but you're also not feeling like he's a lost cause. Obviously only 2, he started against Central Connecticut State, but as we've said a lot, you throw that game out basically. He finally got some help, I think, on Saturday, right? In, really in the form of Jalen Knighton. And I want to say the run game in general, because I know Knighton's, people are going to look at that and say, Knighton, once he got in, it flipped. But Cam Harris had a 20-some yard run on the first play of the half when he got hurt. Like, clearly the run game was about to get going, just like it kind of did in the second half against Virginia. And actually I think that it was one of the best games the line probably played all year, just in terms of protecting him. So he got some help and he made some things happen. I mean, they scored 42 points, obviously 7 came on a pick 6 by Jafari Harvey, but still, a pretty good offensive performance for a guy making his first road start, really his second real start. Yep. They're again, it's like, that's nice. It's kind of right. It's what we're saying. It's like, You can find the individual things to look at and be like, oh, that's good. Maybe he can be a pretty solid quarterback for them next year going forward. But, he's 0-2 against FBS opponents and has his toughest game coming up now. So we're looking 2-4, and I don't think anyone would be surprised if this is 2-6 in 2 weeks from now.
Yeah, I totally won't be surprised. I mean, now it's being surprised if Miami wins. So, oh my God, I hate doing all these downer kind of podcasts, but it's hard, to think of uplifting things.
Well, we'll try to do that in the second half here. I think obviously mid season. So we'll do kind of like a season in review. I've got a little structure thought up, but I guess before we head into that, any kind of final thoughts on North Carolina going into NC State and anything we didn't get to from that game? Obviously it was a wild game. So there were a lot of topics, and some of that obviously we'll hit on when we do midseason review type stuff, but what else kind of stood out to you from the trip up to North Carolina?
I obviously Tyler Van Dyke not being accurate.
Yeah.
Not to me. He said he Manny Diaz was talking about him letting it loose, and winging the ball however he described it. And Tyler was saying he was tight, but let me tell, as you saw, there were some, major overthrows.
Yeah.
Tyler Van Dyke has a good arm, but a good arm doesn't mean anything if you can't hit your targets. And I don't know how many more games he can be nervous and this team can survive it.
Well, they haven't survived it, right? That's the thing.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I didn't say that correctly. But you get the idea.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. Yeah, yeah. I think that's the thing that, I think coming out of these, like I said, you don't know if he's your quarterback of the future yet. You don't know if he's a lost cause yet. But I think the things coming out of these first 2 starts for him, and I think, I don't know, let's see. Maybe next week we'll do like a big, obviously always depends how the game goes. But at some point we should just kind of do like a full deep dive on Tyler Van Dyke, what we've seen so far. Maybe get some expert opinion or something like that. But to me, the one thing I think coming out of these two starts is he has an identity, and that's a question I'm gonna pose when we get to the second half of this episode, is this team's identity. But he has an identity, right? He's inaccurate, as you mentioned. Missed a couple, really, especially early in the game, missed a couple big throws, including on the flea flicker on the first play of the game where they could have had like a 30, 40-yard gain, and he just missed Keyshawn Smith running open. So he's inaccurate. That's definitely true. That's obviously something guys get better with as they get older. But he has a big arm, as you touched on. I think that would have – when he was getting recruited, that was like the thing. That was like he had a he's got obviously the size and the frame that you look for, but he also has that arm strength. And I think, he didn't really hit on any deep – I think he only had one pass longer than 25 yards, I want to say, on Saturday. I wrote a story off that game and had that stat in there. So you can double check it if you're listening and want to know, but he didn't hit it on any deep throws, but he did get four pass interference calls. And that's
true.
And I think one of those was in the red zone. So not exactly the same, but the other ones, those are like deep shots. And when you take deep shots, you get those calls. I mean, you see it, it's obviously more valuable in the NFL where you can chuck the ball 35 yards down the field and get a 35 yard penalty. As you probably happens probably too frequently in the NFL. But he legitimately does stretch the defense in a way that I don't think D'Eric did. Obviously D'Eric has plenty of other strengths that Tyler doesn't have, but he's got an identity with that, the willingness to take shots. And then obviously the scrambling is something, right? He moves pretty well in the pocket. I think that has surprised everyone from the outside, at least. And he's got that like toughness. He's clearly got some of the intangible type stuff. So there's definitely a lot to work with there, but as you mentioned, he's 0-2 against FBS opponents, and like I said, has his hardest game coming up. So
and he had three interceptions against North Carolina. I mean, the last one was on the last play.
The third one was a tipped ball, which obviously he's got to get it up higher, especially when he's a guy that big. But the first two were not good plays at all. Once throwing in traffic, and he said throwing a fastball into traffic on an RPO,
right,
and bouncing around and getting picked off. And the other one, he just totally, it looked like at least did not see the safety and got picked off. So
you love his, like you said, you love his size.
You love his size. You love his arm strength. You love his moxie, his chutzpah.
His chutzpah. Hey, big, he just has he's not scared.
Yeah. I mean, he's going on those on fourth and nine. He's getting 10 yards exactly. Like he's always throwing his shoulder forward. And
I like that. Yeah. He's got a lot of heart. He's courageous kind of thing. I like that he gets the pass interference calls. You don't want him throwing picks.
Yeah.
That's the thing when you're heaving those balls up, that's all. So, yeah. If he were more accurate, I'd feel better, but it just feels like he wings the ball. Like he really throws it. And I like his heart, but, he's got to get completions. I don't know how else to say it.
Yeah. He was really, really good in the third quarter, on Saturday. In the fourth quarter, he was pretty good too, although I think he had a less than 50% completion percentage in that quarter, but that was when he really got the run, the scramble going and that kind of stuff, which obviously was really valuable to them down the stretch. But, he has his moments, right? He's been good. I think if you combined his two second halves and made that one game, you'd be pretty happy with him. If you combined his two first halves and made that one game, you'd be like, oh my God, like, what's up with Peyton Matoka? Can we see him? This feels like these next 2 weeks and two of the toughest games he's going to have the rest of the way here, against a ranked North Carolina State team on Saturday, and then go up to Pitt the next weekend. We don't know what that weather is going to be like, although he's a Northeast guy. So used to play in the cold a little bit more than some of these other guys. But that's going to be, feels like I don't want to say make or break for him, because he's obviously next year, it's probably going to be an open competition with him and Jake Garcia, but this is going to be a chance, I think, these next couple of weeks for us to like really kind of figure out what Miami has in Tyler Van Dyke, or at least what he is right now. If he's a guy who can get this team to a bowl game and maybe more, or if he's a guy who's just kind of shepherding us to a frustrating finish here in Coral Gables.
Well, if he gets the team to a bowl game, they've finished the season pretty well, and they have to win their last 4 of 6 to get to a bowl game.
Yeah.
Right now, it just doesn't seem promising. But I was talking about this to somebody just earlier today about how, you know, I think it's better to have the team facing – it's better to have the Hurricanes facing a good team and a ranked team. I'm not saying Alabama, but North Carolina State. Because if you beat that team, that's really good. Okay. That really puts you on a positive, on an upward trajectory. And, but if it's a team that has, you know, that's kind of not so good, people say, they're not good anyway, whatever. I think it's better that they're playing a better team personally.
Yeah. And especially when all these teams are pretty much the same ish, right? Like there's not, like you said, if they played Alabama, then they're just screwed. And if they played like Central Connecticut State, then yeah, they're in good shape. But all these ACC teams are kind of the same. So I kind of agree with you. It seems like this Miami team is going to, like, every game they play the rest of the way, it feels like is going to be at this point. I mean, again, maybe it all falls apart at some point here. But it feels like every game they're going to play is going to be within like 10 points the rest of the way here.
Kind of. Yeah. And I think Pittsburgh is going to, we have to see what happens this week, but Pittsburgh's a big challenge with Kenny Pickett, with one of the best quarterbacks in the nation, I guess. And hey, Clemson is not favored. Clemson's an underdog against Pitt. Yeah. So, but thankfully the game's at noon, right, David?
Yes, a noon game.
It'll be a little warmer. It will be.
Yeah.
When the game ends, it'll be 3 o'clock or whatever, or 4 o'clock. It'll be warmer, and then, you know, then the temperatures will really drop.
Yeah. So, all right. So let's take a quick break, and then we'll come back and do our kind of mid-season in review. All right, we are back. Normally, I think when we did this last year, it was obviously a pretty good season, right? I think it had one loss at this point, maybe. That was it. And we kind of did like awards, right? We like went through and we're like, all right, who's been the MVP so far? Who's been whatever this, whatever that? To me, the storyline with this team is we are halfway done with this season. It was something we kind of talked about again over the weekend. And it still feels like there's like so much we do not know about this team, and like really simple things, kind of like who is their best player right now? Like, you know, normally things like that, like, are pretty easy to answer. And it just feels like, you know, obviously the injuries have contributed a lot to that. You know, in a normal world, Derek King would be like kind of the no brainer answer to a lot of these. Even Cam Harris and Don Chaney, maybe, on defense, I think that Keontra Smith looks like if he was in there every day, we'd maybe be talking about him as the best guy on this defense or defensive MVP so far. But because between all that and just the fact that this team is so Jekyll and Hyde, even within the course of individual games, it feels like there's so little that we can like pinpoint about this team. So let's try to answer some of these unanswerable or at least unanswered questions as we go into the second half of the year here. I guess, first of all, like, how would you describe this team's identity? Like, if someone was like, if someone who'd never watched Miami, or if someone had like kind of a vague idea of what Miami, like, let's say Miami was about to play Arkansas this weekend. And so they kind of know what's up with Miami. They know D'Eriq is hurt. They know it's been a frustrating year. And Arkansas beat writer reached out to you and was like, so what's up with this team? Like, how would you describe what this team, how this team plays, what they look like, what they do well? How would you describe the identity, I guess, for lack of a better word, of this Miami team?
Well, I would say a second half team. I mean, I am going I am going by the fighters. Okay. First thing I would say is they battle. they do battle. They do still have heart right now. They do badly. They don't give up. They fight to the end, but they're so slow at starting. Slow starters. They fight at the end, but you know the offense has been very disappointing. The first half of the season. Yeah. Even with Derek, who I know, if Derek had come back without having torn his ACL and you know his meniscus, I think it would be a totally different story this season. 100% different, but he even came back and was his arm. Maybe because of his shoulder didn't seem as good. And so I would say this is a slow, very slow first half team. I'm not even going to, the Connecticut State was kind of a outlier.
You throw that game out.
Right. I mean, even the Appalachian State game, right. They had a comeback at the end kind of, yeah, so I would say very slow starters, like they were a lot of last year, and trying like hell at the end, sticking together as far as fighting, wanting to win so badly, you could see it, you could feel it, but that's kind of that's the major thing that sticks out to me right now, and mistake. I mean, that's the identity that sticks out to me.
Yeah, I think I would say they're kind of a plodding offensive team that can get, I know there are still like moments where they get the tempo going and like it looks pretty good. But the problem is that the offense just like cannot execute at that level very often. Even when Derek was in there. So you end up like, they just have not, last year they kind of put together explosive plays and they just really have not had that at all this year. It feels like every pass is a, every completion is like a 7-yard completion and every run is a 3-yard run. They have not run the ball well at all this year and they've not thrown it for chunk plays, I think is how I would describe this offense. It's an offense that would love to go fast, but has not been able to.
And David, also the other part of that, everything you're saying is true. And what I said, I think is true, but when they do another part of describing this team's identity, and we're used to it now, when they do finally score, the other team comes right back. Yeah. Not even slowly, not plotting. I mean, boom, yeah. Boom, boom, boom. As soon as UM scores, it's so demoralizing, right? The other team just, boom, scores fast. So I think that's another identity.
Yeah, well, defensively, I think it's even harder to like kind of pinpoint things they do well, right? Like, their leading sack, they have a couple guys with 2.5 sacks. That's it. I think it's Harvey and Chance each have 2.5 sacks to lead the team. I think they've actually been decent in the tackle for loss category. Manny Diaz defenses always are, but they do not have that normal, like that great defensive line that the Manny Diaz teams typically have. Obviously, right. The linebackers are a mess. I think the one thing you can kind of point to that they do okay defensively is, I think Tyreek Stevenson has been really good. So that's nice, I guess. And, I know Bubba Bolden we were talking about this today with Manny Diaz, recording this on Wednesday. He is not great out well about like PFF and all that stuff, but they still clearly trust him a lot. He's playing more snaps than anyone on defense. So I think they have some guys in the secondary, but for the most part, this defense just does not do anything well. Occasionally, it seems like they should. They've got some high upside guys, right? Like, obviously, we're going to talk a lot about the freshmen, James Williams and Leonard Taylor, in particular. Chance Williams too, or sorry, Cam Kitchens too. Chance Williams, like they've got these young guys who all flash and can kill a drive, right? Like I think they had 3 3-and-outs in the second half on Saturday. Like they can put together these awesome sequences where these young guys each come through with a play, but they're just. They really don't do a whole lot well on a consistent basis, at least on defense. I think the identity there is they've got some interesting young guys, but they can only do so much.
For sure. Absolutely, for sure. And they have some guys that you see that are getting better the more they play, like Jafari Harvey. But no, I 100% agree with that. They're just not a great team right now. That's an understatement.
Yeah. So the other like question, the other one I mentioned is I can't even tell you who this team's best player is.
I know, it's crazy.
I put this question on the outline that we have. Who has been the best player on each side of the ball? And I don't know, do you come up with a couple answers?
No, I mean, you're going to laugh, but the players I'm impressed with are the young kids.
Yeah, right. They're the ones who definitely pop the most.
Well, okay. So Keontra Smith, I understand. He's been injured. He just got in again, but he's definitely a bright spot.
Yes. It does not feel like he makes a lot of mistakes.
Okay.
We don't know that for sure, but like it very rarely feels like he's the guy missing the tackle or you know, he's, right. He just seems to always be doing the right thing.
And he also had two sacks. He saw at two sacks last game.
Yep.
And he came back a little earlier than we thought he might.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe a week earlier with his knee injury he had. Yeah. So, I mean, Keontra has been at James Williams. Love James Williams.
Yeah, I tweeted during the game that I think he might be their best player. And then that was before he had a couple of terrible penalties that really cost Miami 10 points, basically, or 11 points, basically. But still, he is the guy, like, he's just always around the ball. And that's what you
want. He has such heart. He's like a real Kane. I mean, he really fights. He's really talented. They've got to calm him down. He's very emotional. And overly emotional. He's got to learn because those things kill you. Those personal fouls and unsportsmanlike conduct and things and roughing what the kicker and things like that. I mean, they could kill you for the game. They could make the difference in winning and losing. So he's got to learn that. If he can learn that, I mean, he's so good. He's so big. You just notice him. But you're right, David. I was looking at offense. Cam Kinch also is really good.
Yeah, I think on defense, I don't know. I think Keontra is a good pick, but again, like you said, has not played a ton because of the injury. Maybe Jafari, right? 2.5 sacks.
Jafari too. Yep.
Had the pick six on Saturday, first defensive touchdown since 2018. Like, I don't know how he grades out on a play-to-play basis, but he has made as many – he and Chance Williams feel like they've made as many, like, game-changing plays as anyone. I know they're not necessarily playing as much as – especially Chance is, I think, fourth in the rotation. But it seems like, defensive end's kind of the most important position on defense, and it feels like Jafari's the best guy they have there. Tyreek also just worth mentioning. He's the best shutdown cornerback they've had in a while. But that only takes you so far. On offense, I don't even know where to start. I mean,
I didn't write anybody down.
Yeah, like Cam Harris was actually quietly has some pretty good numbers this year. Obviously, he's done for the year, averaging close to 6 yards a carry. But the run game was just so inconsistent.
Yeah, and Cam's inconsistent.
Yeah.
Both. I agree with you. I looked at his stats.
I was kind of surprised how good his numbers were. Not that they were incredible, but like he was on pace for basically a 1,000-yard season before he got hurt. If he finishes that game, probably gets close to 500 yards.
Exactly. The thing with Cam is you never feel like he's going north and south.
Yeah.
He's always moving around and going back a little bit and hesitating. You like guys that go... But then you look at his stats, and they were good. I think last year too, he would have a lot of big runs.
Right. Yeah. He's explosive. He's like a home run hitter, kind of. Right. Like I've always said Cam would be a great number two back. I don't know if he's ever been quite up to being the number one guy, but I've always thought he'd be a really nice number two. The quarterbacks. I mean, Derek threw more interceptions and touchdowns before he got hurt. As you mentioned, Tyler's. Been really up and down. Charleston Rambos had a really nice year.
Yes, thank you. I did that's funny. I put a line through Charleston.
Only two touchdowns, but up over 400 yards. And doing that for a pretty shaky offense, he's been a nice bright spot. Also, I saw this, that Jared Williams is their highest graded offensive player on PFF this year. So, you know, the offensive line has been a major issue, but it seems like it's gotten better since he's come in at right tackle and started to stabilize things a little bit.
So. And they've had the same line for how many? Three?
I think this is the third straight game. And like I said, I don't know what like all the grades said, but it felt like it was the best game the line has played. Maybe all year, until the last drive when Tyler had to make some guys miss, it really felt like he had time to make his throws. But of course, I don't know how the defense was playing them and all that kind of stuff. Who would you guess like is going to wind up as this team's MVP?
Oh my God.
It kind of depends how they finish, right? Like if they make a bowl game, it's probably Tyler Van Dyke, right? It's because he figures it out.
Well, maybe, yeah, it could be him. Rambo, it could be
yeah, Rambo's another good pick. A guy who could
be Jalen Knighton.
Yep, yeah, Jalen Knighton.
You know, maybe Andy Borgalis kicks that the winning kick to get them into a bowl game
or something.
There we go. Yeah. So I mean he's been really good too. I know he's missed the 33.
He's been really good for a freshman, I would say.
Yeah. I think he's hit
over 50, but he's also missed a couple short ones. Like he's been a good freshman kicker, right? Like the nice thing about him is if you get to the 40 yard line, you feel like you could try it, right? If you get to the other team's 40 yard line, you feel like there's a pretty decent chance you're going to come away with points. But of course, I'm a freshman kicker. And, you know, he's, like I said, he's missed some short ones. So he's a weapon, right? He's a weapon because he can kick from long, but he's also a freshman. So.
Oh, it's for 11 field goals. Yeah, he does kick long ones. I hope he's okay. I mean, today's Wednesday. We said we were supposed to get him for the second day in a row. We were supposed to get him on Zoom. Yesterday we were supposed to get him in person. And yesterday UM said that he was feeling under the weather, but he would definitely, you know, he would be back today or whatever. And today they scheduled him for Zoom and he again wasn't here. And Manny Diaz, of course, mentioned there's the flu around campus is still going around. So that's, I'm telling you, if Borgalis is not there on Saturday against North Carolina State, that's bad.
Yes.
That's my opinion. That's bad.
That happens. You're not trying many field goals longer than 30 yards. So,
Or extra point. You got to hope they can kick the extra points. I mean, it's really,
We touched on this at the top when we were talking about the best guys on the team, but obviously the freshmen have been just a massive story. This is not necessarily an unanswerable question because I think there have been enough there to feel good about this freshman class. Which one, let's each pick like one on each side of the ball. Who's been most impressive to you? Defense is really, there's three guys, right? It's James
Williams,
and Cam Leonard Bridges. Taylor, who's coming on strong.
Oh, and Leonard. Yeah. James Williams, Leonard Taylor, and Cam Kinchins, I think.
Yeah.
Are my three freshmen.
Yeah. I mean, I think out of those three, James has probably been the most impressive. I think Leonard Taylor, by the end of the year, we might be saying him because he's playing more and more every week. And I saw he was PFF's top graded player from Saturday, actually. So, he's trending in the right direction. But everything you said about James Williams up at the top, I agree with. He's just always around the ball. And as you said, some of that is like the heart. Some of that is just this combination of speed and size. He covers so much of the field so quickly. And, you know, I know those three penalties he had were pretty ugly, right? Especially the roughing the kicker right after he made a great play to snuff out the green coming like way from across the field.
Right.
And then he obviously had the bad missed tackle on Howell's scramble where he tries to throw the shoulder into him. So you clean that up and you're looking at a first round pick. No question, basically. But he's got to clean that up. But so far I think he's been the guy on offense.
I can't say Jake Garcia, you know, because he played against Connecticut State. So I'm taking him out of the equation. Okay. I think maybe Cody Brown. I don't know. Like he,
Yeah, I guess, and this is just talking, I guess, true freshmen, because we could have also mentioned guys like Chance Williams on defense and stuff like
that. No, I'm not just, talking about not second year. We're talking about true freshmen. Yeah,
just true freshmen.
Cody Brown's played in every game. He's okay. So he has 80 yards, and he's only run it 16 times. He's only lost 2 yards in that. He's averaging 5 yards a carry, and he has 3 touchdowns. And actually, he has the second most touchdowns on the team after Cam Harris.
Yeah. I think 2 were against Central Connecticut, right? So, but still, maybe, like.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, I'm looking at the. Hold on a second. I'm looking at the other freshmen, and I know we had the great, incredible catch by, was it? Who was it? Which?
Romello Brinson.
Romello, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Romello has the 1 touchdown and 5 catches for 58 yards. I mean,
yeah, I think Cody Brown might be the right answer. And it seems like, you know, he's going to have to be the number 2 running back the rest of the way here. So he's a pretty good candidate to, and they clearly like him as a goal line back too, right? Especially with, you know, Jalen Knighton's good, but he's a little small, and Cody Brown's this big, thick bowling ball, like running back. And
you're right.
I think he's going to maybe pile up some touchdowns in the second half here. Romello Brinson, I think, is worth mentioning, as you mentioned, had the great touchdown catch. Obviously, Breshard Smith also. They've tried to find ways to get him involved.
How about Jacoby George?
That was the last one I was going to throw out, because he was awesome as a punt returner on Saturday.
Yeah, he has 4 punt returns for 42 yards.
Yeah, so he's another guy who, by the end of the year, we might be talking about him as the best offensive freshman because of what he's doing on special teams.
Yeah, I agree. That could be a really, really big difference if he can give them some good field position, that would be huge.
Yeah, especially the return game has been a real big issue for them for the last couple of years. All right, let's finish here. Try to be positive. Do you have like a positive, I don't know, just what's a positive storyline, a positive development, a positive story that you think could propel this team into the second half?
Well,
whether it's a player doing something or...
Yeah, I think Jafari Harvey's pick 6.
Yeah.
Was a positive development. I think you get something like that and you get hungrier.
Yeah.
Don't see it. It's contagious. I mean, can do it, or put it this way. He's sure going to be thinking about it more, whatever he has to do.
The one I'd mention is Jalen Knighton, who you kind of mentioned. But obviously he was awesome in the second half against North Carolina. Missed the first four games, right, with the suspension, was coming off an injury, right? He was hurt at the end of last year. Now he's going to be the number one running back after injuries to Don Chaney and Cam Harris. And, it's a big opportunity for him to finish the year strong. And after, you know, it has probably been a really frustrating last 12 months for him, a chance to be the guy and, you know, maybe by the end of the year, we're talking about him as the MVP of this offense, because he looked really good in that North Carolina game. And his speed is game changing in a way that, you know, I know Cam's got really good speed and Chaney's got some speed too, but Knighton, the Rooster, that's game changing speed at the running back spot.
I think so. And I think Rhett Lashley is going to game plan around him.
Yeah. Remember, he scored some big touchdowns last year, like on design plays, like where they would like throw to him in the middle of the field. Like they love his speed, his receiving ability, and the way they can use that to be more than just the guy you hand the ball to.
I think they're going to throw some screens or some short passes to him, and because he seems to have a really nice fluid style, right, that he goes north south, and that he's I think that's what we're, that's maybe we'll see that this game. And I think, you know, this game, they're going to be home. So as far as the, the noise factor, you know what I'm saying? Well, it's going to be better. So I don't know how many people will actually show up to this night game, but it'll be easier kind of for the line, for Tyler, for everybody. So.
All right, I think we can wrap things up there. You can follow Susan on Twitter at S. Miller Degnan. You can follow me on Twitter at DBWilson2. We'll both be at Hard Rock Stadium on Saturday night for Miami NC State. And like you said, maybe Miami will finally get a win. Some positive signs in the second half, but got to put it together for four quarters.
I agree. You need to put a positive headline on this one, David. Yeah.
All right. I'll try to come up with something.
All right. Good.
All right. Thanks as always for listening, and we'll talk to you guys next week.